God so loved the world that he gave. He did something. He didn't just say, oh, I really love you, and then leave it. He did something. He sent Jesus. Jesus came and was willing to live among people. He was willing to be tempted in every way that we are tempted. But he didn't sin. He was willing to get down into the dirt and be with the creation. God, when he loves, he shows it. So love is a verb. Hey, it's working out. Steve then took us on to 1 Corinthians 13, where we looked at this whole idea of love is patient, kind, doesn't envy, doesn't boast, is not proud, does not dishonour, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered. And we had that challenge. Could we put our name there? Well, I can't, not in every one of them. And on most days, not in any of them. But there's a challenge, because God is all of these things. And he calls us to live as Christ. When we're reading in Colossians 3, it says, now you are alive in Christ. God expects this from us. But it's not about us trying harder. He gives us what we need to be able to live like this. Then Steve went on to talk about the Song of Songs and this whole idea of us helping each other. So where I know that I'm struggling, am I willing to say to someone, will you help me? Will you catch these foxes for me? Will you help me with the things that I really struggle with? Will you come alongside me? Will you walk with me through my struggles? And maybe I could walk with you through yours too. Because it's not that I'm better than anyone else. We all have struggles. Are we willing to be honest with each other? And are we willing to trust each other to be able to walk together? So we had that challenge of what are the little foxes that make our life difficult, that make our walk difficult, that try to destroy the vineyard, the beautiful things that God wants to create. They're trying to destroy us. Then we thought about anger. Jesus is righteous, but he was angry. And again, Steve said, it's not the anger, it's what we do with it. And the Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. God is slow to anger. I don't know about you, but I always got the impression that God was always at the end of his tether. He was always ready to blow up at me. He was so angry with me. I just had to do one tiny little thing, and that would be it. He would destroy me. I got that from my family, because that was the situation we were always in. We were always just one step away from an explosion happening. And I decided that's what God must be like. But he's not like that. God is slow to anger. He is patient with us. He bears with us. Even when we must test his patience. We looked at James 1. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. It's a challenge for all of us. Do we listen enough? Do we take time before we speak? And do we not understand what the motives are behind our anger? Is it an anger that's righteous? Or is it an anger because I can't get my own way? Or something's not going the way I think it should do? It says in Zephaniah 3, the eternal your God. The eternal your God is standing right here among you, and he is, it seems to have gone off the page. I'll see if I can read it from here. The eternal your God is standing right here among you, and he is the champion who will rescue you. He will joyfully celebrate over you. He will rest in his love for you. He will joyfully sing because of you like a new husband or like a new parent or like someone who's just got something new. He will rejoice over you. Do you ever think about that? That God rejoices over you. Just let that sink in. When was the last time you rejoiced over yourself? When was the last time you looked in that mirror and thought, thank you, God, for all you've done in me and for all you will do through me? God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son. He sent him into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And this is real love. Not that we loved God first, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God's always in the business of getting in there first. When we think we've got a good idea, God's been there already. And he loved us from before creation. These things blow my mind. But God knew about you and about me. And he loved us. He knew the things that we were going to do. He knew the mistakes we'd make. He knew the way we would go that would really break his heart. But he still loved us. There's a quote that's often thrown out there. God knows our sins, but he calls us by our name. The devil knows our name, but he calls us by our sins. The enemy tries to put us down. You're not very patient, are you? Oh, that wasn't very kind. Oh, that was a bit proud there. And he tries to dig at us to make us forget that God loves us. Not what would Gareth Southgate do, but what would Jesus do in the situations that we face? How can we show that kindness, that compassion, that love, that care, that gentleness? How can we bear with each other in a way that will have an impact for us and for the community that we find ourselves in? So that's the recap. That's where we've got to. That's where I sort of got from what Steve was saying over those last few weeks. There's a challenge there of knowing that God loves us dearly. He delights in us. He is busy showing our photographs to everyone. And when we were in France a few months ago now, there's a group called Epiphany. And this is a music group. And they do something called sound portraits. So it's a bit like prophetic music. So you sit in the middle of this, that they go around you in a circle, classically trained, apart from the percussionist and that who does all Celtic music. They're around you, you sit in the middle, and they just say, God, what do you want to say to Laura today? And then they start playing the most amazing music. And obviously, while you're there, well, I do, I shut my eyes because I don't want to be distracted. You just let it wash over you. And it's just amazing that God has created a piece of music that's just for me. The year before when we went, I went into all 15 of these sessions, not for myself, to listen to other people. And there was not once that they repeated a refrain or a sound or anything. They were all unique. And it's just like, wow. God has taken time to write a piece of music for me. And it's really special. One of the ladies at the end, you and I had lots of different images and things going on. But at the end, one of the ladies said, you know, it's a bit like when they win a World Cup and they hold that trophy up. She's like, God is saying, you're my trophy. I'm holding you above my head. I'm declaring to the nations, this is my righteous child. Whoa, I'm really chuffed in them. Do you ever think that God thinks like that of you? I don't most of the time. I think he's probably fed up in me most of the time. But she said, no, he declares, you are my trophy. Because of the work I'm doing in you and the work that I'm doing through you. God takes us where we are because he knows where he's going to take us to. So Colossians 3 tells us that there was a time when life wasn't great, a bit like this dirty t-shirt. The things that we need to take off. The stuff we need to get rid of. And only you will know what that is. Habits, attitudes, stuff that's ingrained in us from our childhood. And God says, take it off. Take off that old life, because I've got a new life to give you. I've got a beautiful, clean, pristine t-shirt for you. Actually, I've taken it out of Jesus' closet. It's his shirt, but he's willing to change it with you. When Jesus was on that cross, and we're going to celebrate communion in a bit, when he was on that cross, he said, I will take all of your filth, your dirtiness, your torn, your brokenness. I will take all of that, and I'll give you all of what I have. I'll give you my clothes, the righteous, the holy, the pure, the sinless. I'll do that exchange for you, but take off the old ones. You can't put the new t-shirt on top of the old ones, because you know what happens? The stains start to seep through. You need to take off the old. So we're challenged to take off those old clothes. We're God's people. He loves us. And he has a brand new wardrobe for us. He doesn't want us to be stuck with the old stuff. Do you ever look in that mirror? I keep going back to this, but do you ever look in that mirror at yourself and go, oh, I just wish I could stop. Or, I wished I didn't believe that. Or, I wish I could be like so-and-so and do this sort of stuff. And God says, don't do that. Just take off the old. Let me give you this new clothes. And instead of looking in the mirror at me, I want to look and see Jesus. I want to see Jesus in the mirror so that I reflect him, not me, not my brokenness. So God has a whole lot of wardrobe for you. I said you might not want the armour. You might think, I'm not up for battle. Don't feel I'm ready for battle. He says, that's all right. I'm going to give you everyday clothes. Because every day you're going to meet with people that you can impact, that you can show kindness to, that you can just be me to. You know, Jesus says even a cup of cold water given in his name will be a blessing. Hands up, who can give a cup of cold water? That's all of us then. So he calls us and says, come and just be me with the people you're around. Be a listening ear. Be a shoulder for people to cry on. Be a person to walk with when they're struggling. Said that Mr. Ben was just an ordinary man. He had extraordinary adventures, though. And you know, with God, we can have extraordinary adventures, even in the ordinariness, just by sharing with those around us. We will have a big impact. It's not always the big things that mean stuff. Well, it doesn't to me. When people have taken time to do something that really impacts on me, it's really good. When someone goes and does the dishes and they've not been asked. When someone goes and makes you a drink and you didn't ask them. Someone cuts the lawn. Someone phones you up and says, do you fancy a coffee? When someone steps in and says, I thought I might just do this for you. It makes all the difference. Think of how it changes you. And if you can then do that for others, it will change them. We are ordinary people. But we serve an extraordinary God. When we said yes to Jesus, when we said yes to all that he did on the cross, when we asked him to forgive us and accepted everything that he gave, he said, right, I'm going to come and live in you. This always blows my mind. Just think about it. The God who created the whole universe lives in me. And yet, I spend most of my time thinking I can't do anything. Who am I? I'm nothing. And God says, yeah, but I'm something. I can do amazing things through you. Think of the people in the Bible that we read about who struggled. Some couldn't speak properly. Some had real issues with certain sins. Some really struggled with their temper or their attitude to things. And yet God took them and was still able to work through them. If he can do that for Moses, for Elijah, for Jeremiah, for David, for Noah, for Ruth, for Esther, if he can do that for them, he can do that with us. Because we're not any different. In our ordinariness, we can be extraordinary. Not because of us, but because of God in us. I really like this little cartoon that I found. So it said, Robes of Righteousness Tailor on the front of the shop. Special today, trade in your old rags for a new suit free, all costs paid for by the owner. God offers us this new suit, these new clothes. He says, come to me and I'll give you these things. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. This morning, if we have said yes to Jesus, we have this offer of this robe. We can walk as prince and princesses. We are children of God. Yes, we might say, but I fail and I do that and God knows. But he says, hold up your head. You are a child of God. And I love you dearly. And I want you to know that and walk in this. So let's put off the old. And let's take up the new. Let's walk together. Let's help each other as we seek to be more and more like Jesus. Not just so that we can be happy and well fed and enjoying ourselves, but so that our world can be changed. When Jesus left his disciples, he said, right, now you go. You go into all the world and declare who I am. Show people who I am. Be who I am to those around you. And you will cause an impact to our society. So this week, I pray that each one of us will know that God loves us. We'll know that we are children of God, and we'll know that we are clothed in his clothing, his righteousness, his everything. Amen.